Two Faces Radio.
One of the programs which you hear daily on many of these mutual stations begins like this.
What are you doing?
Getting ready for Monday. Gonna fill a super soaker full of lemonade. Carl's gonna fill one with iced tea. And we're gonna Arnold Palmer Lenny when he walks in.
Everywhere I go, people ask me, Arnie, is that old tractor you drove in the Pennzoil commercial still running?
You're going to Arnold Palmer Lenny.
What happened on that hole where you double bogey? How do you find that, champ?
You're referring to the PGA Championship. Well, that was a bad hole. That's about it. Those things happen.
You see, Arnold Palmer was a golfer, and he made up this drink where it's not a full glass of lemonade or a full glass of iced tea.
Life is too short to put it off for long.
No, no, it's not fair. I was good.
Arnold Palmer!
You know, this old tractor and I are a lot alike. We're both still using Pennzoil, and we're both still running.
Hey, it was with this hand that Cain iced his brother. Love. These five fingers, they go straight to the soul of man. The right hand, the hand of love. The story of life is this. Static. One hand is always fighting the other hand. And the left hand is kicking much ass. I mean, it looks like the right hand love is finished. But hold on, stop the presses. The right hand's coming back. Yeah, he got the left hand on the ropes now. That's right. Yeah. Ooh, it's a devastating right hand. Hey, this hurt. Down. Ooh. Ooh, left hand. Hey, KO'd by love.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Tim Andrews, Ira Malkin, Steph Swain, and Jeff Leboff.
Hi, welcome to episode 42 of Radio Labyrinth. I'm Tim. There's Ira.
Hey.
Jeff.
Howdy.
Steph.
Hey.
And joining us this week is a man who needs no introduction, but is going to get one anyway. He is putting on the Red Clay Comedy Festival. I got to learn how to speak again. I get nervous when we have guests. I get nervous when we have guests, especially funny guys. Let's just do this. Mike Albanese.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, welcome. Hey.
Local. I should be clapping for myself. I just I'm a follower sometimes.
I've heard your voice a lot, but we've never met. So
look at this.
Yeah, you know him from the. We have a lot of shared listeners with Eric. You were on the Von Hessler Doctrine, Doctrine,
right.
And you did the Battle of the Beards, a festival that used to go on every year. Does it still go on in Atlanta?
No. We did it for four years. And then when I moved, it kind of became. I didn't want to. I came back for the fourth year, and then I just didn't want to do it anymore.
And you're in town this week. You've been here for what? A week and a half?
I'll be here for another week, for the Red Clay Comedy Festival, which is happening
this
September 29th through October 1st, this upcoming weekend.
Yeah.
Very excited about
this.
It.
This is exciting. The headliner is Rory Scovel.
Oh, it's going to be great.
And I was checking out some of his comedy today, doing some prep.
And he's recording a special there, right?
Yeah.
Filming a special. Yeah. Six camera shoot.
Film, right? Not, film. Not video. And it's being. Tell everybody who's producing this, by the way.
Oh, have you guys. Now, this is going to get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar?
We're holding onto our seats.
Are you familiar with Oliver Stone?
Yes.
It is not him, but...
Stone or the man?
No, Jack White of the White Stripes, Jack White. He's going to be in town all week, hanging out and filming this, which is very exciting.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. And he's doing, like, sketches. He's shooting his special over two nights, and we're doing sketches. I get to be in one of them, which is pretty exciting. Do you remember the best... I think it's what it's going to turn out to be is kind of similar to how the Live of the Purple Onion launched Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, yeah.
Similar style in sketches mixed between it and all kinds of fun shit. So
that's fun. That is awesome.
That does sound really cool. I would never think of Jack White as being like a super humorous person, but...
Well, yeah, and he produced Rory's last album, Live at Third Man Records, which
Jack just seems like
vinyl.
He wants to get into everything.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, he wants to be there.
Well, he really believes in Rory, and you know, if you've ever seen him,
yeah.
You would too, but you should see him this weekend. And officially, we are almost sold out of tickets for Rory's shows.
Nice.
So we've got about 20% left on those tickets. So get them now because they're not going to be at the door. They're going to be sold out prior to the door, which is exciting for the festival, also exciting for Rory.
Now give the dates again. Time. And give the website and ticket information.
September 29th, September 30th, October 1st, redclaycomedy.com. Also, Clayton English is our other headliner who just won Last Comic Standing. He's also an Atlanta grown boy, which is super exciting. This is his first big show back since winning. But we're also partnered with Project Pabst, which is the first time they're doing this huge music festival here in Atlanta the same weekend, that Saturday, October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a pass called the Comedy Nerd Pass, which gets you not only tickets to see Project Pabst, all the acts like NoFX, Mastodon, Run the Jewels with Killer Mike. Shit's going to get crazy. We have a comedy stage there where you can see every showcase comedian from the Red Clay Festival, which has 30 comedians. And plus, you get to see all of our headliners. We have a big barbecue. It's going to get fucking apeshit.
Who's doing the barbecue?
King's Barbecue. Do you know Paul Galwa and Craig Holzer?
Oh, God, they Paul.
They run the Albert, which is such an amazing...
Yeah.
Paul runs the Albert?
Well, he's like the main... Him and Craig like run the kitchen.
Yeah.
And they started their own little barbecue. I say little. That wasn't demeaning at all. But it's this huge trailer that they can tow around. And so they're coming in on Thursday, and they're going to be smoking brisket and ribs all night. Plus, we have Goza Tequila as one of our sponsors. They're setting up a Goza bar, which is going to be crazy. We have PBR. We got a dunk tank coming. It's going to get silly. And it's only for comedians. The comedians performing and the people that have the nerd passes. So it's going to be like kind of like a meet and greet also. Just crazy fun times.
Jeff and I are going to be at our best friend's third wedding in Orlando.
Yeah. Third of what?
Third wedding.
Of how many, though?
Oh, yeah.
Gonna be. But what do you think it's going to close at, though?
Let's see. What do you think, Jeff? Do you think three, this will be it? Third time's a charm?
Yeah, I hope so.
All right. Congratulations to Stu, though. We'll have a good time. What are we going to do? We're going to do sensory deprivation, right?
Stu, I want to come to the next one.
Oh, this is Stu's wedding.
Yeah.
Aw, congratulations, Stu.
Yeah. But anyway, back to our guest. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. It was almost 3 seconds where you guys weren't talking about me.
Hillary Clinton moment. Let me clear my throat. Bill Kelleher from Mastodon gets his hair cut at Mary Todd, where you were.
Look at this.
Week.
Look at this dude. I'm going to take my head, my ears off. Hold on.
You look pretty.
Look at that.
Huh?
That's nice.
Yeah. Matches the old stupid beard.
That looks like a Mary Todd haircut.
Everyone there asked me if I was getting my beard trimmed. I was like, are we saying something? Just tell me how you feel,
well,
pal.
It's kind of the specialty down there, you know, and you get a nice beard trim, and, you know, you could use a little shaping, but, you know, you're you.
That's for you. Mary Todd actually won the beardiest business when we were running Battle of the Beards. They won one year.
The beardiest business.
Yeah, they had the most people representing Mary Todd at the at the event. So
you know what I missed?
They got a plaque. I didn't see it there, though. A little upset.
I don't know where it is. I'll have
nice
to ask.
A plaque made for him.
A plaque. I'm going to have to ask.
Sean, maybe Sean has that at his house.
Yeah, I have it at my house.
Got everything else in his house.
Next to my books.
Also, Dave Stone, Andy Samford, Rob Hayes.
Yeah. Well, actually, Rob Hayes has got this huge opportunity with this college touring setup for comedians. So he's actually is not going to be there. But Rob, Dave Stone, Andy Samford from Beards of Comedy, which we're big fans.
Yeah.
What happened to the other guys? Well, there's two of them. There's Joe Zimmerman and TJ Young. Mm-hmm. Joe's out opening for Brian Regan a lot, which is huge.
Yeah,
he just
huge.
Was at Red Rocks performing. Yeah, it's crazy. And TJ's still kicking around. He's in New York. I see him every now and again.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you run into Andy up there?
Yeah. I see him quite a bit.
Okay.
He filmed his special last year at Red Clay, and that's about to come out.
Okay.
And I got to see a screener of it, and it's amazing. It's like wall-to-wall funny.
We used to have we brought all three of them the first time. Onto the regular guy's
they're
show.
Four.
I know they're four.
Ooh, one don't you like?
No, I like all of them. We brought three of them came in, but primarily Larry was interested in Dave and Andy. And then after that, it was always like, let's just get Dave on. But, you know, who knows how the mind works. But Andy and Dave are both very funny guys. And Dave is actually out in California now, right? Doing a TV show.
He had a pilot for Travel Channel get greenlit. So that's airing right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Him and Lisa Best are on a show called
Cheat Day
Cheat Day Chowdown.
Uh-huh.
Lisa Best is also on the festival.
Oh,
guys,
nice.
We're killing this lineup.
Atlanta is kicking ass as far as comedy
really is,
goes, right?
Yeah. I used to come into the old show.
Yeah, I know.
And then I got kicked out because, what was his name? Larry?
Larry. We'll just say Larry.
Well, we
Wax.
All know. Am I allowed to give my opinion? Or is
sure.
this like an opinion? Okay.
Oh, no. Oh, there's been opinions
he's
on the
show. He's a fucking idiot. I got banned from the show because I thought, for one reason, I thought it was because, I don't fucking know. I might have, because of Eric's show, when I started doing Eric's show. But mm-hmm. it turns out, and maybe, I mean, you probably knew this.
Yeah.
But I only found out recently, I got kicked out because he hosted a show or two when I was working the Improv.
Atlanta Improv, yeah.
And
they hired him to be there.
Ate dick. Like, yeah. It was miserable. He kept his glasses, like sunglasses. He had like a parka up to his nose. He kind of like shook his shoulders and just said a couple things and then a couple catchphrases. And
yeah.
It was silent in a packed crowd. And then I had to go on after him.
And what it was all that?
I'll explain it when he's done.
If okay. you bomb as a comedian, the next person up, it's their every right to acknowledge it because they have to. Because
right.
it's their job to dig their way out of a hole that you created. So I don't remember what I said, but I said something completely erroneous to this sense of, oh, I promise he's funny on radio. Probably something like that.
And you were being nice.
And I was being nice.
Right.
I was being nice while acknowledging the fact that he sucked and he isn't funny.
That's a no-win situation.
Right. And I won because I got a laugh, finally.
Yeah.
Fucking 7 minutes for somebody to get a laugh at a comedy show. And what? Then I found out the next day or two that I was no longer allowed in the studio.
I don't want him in here. He's sabotaging me.
Fuck him. What an idiot. What's he doing now besides hitchhiking?
He has a podcast.
Oh, good. That sucks.
I don't know. No, I've never listened.
Cool.
Someone tag us, me and him, in the audio of this show.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Constantly. No, even listeners, you guys do it, but keep doing it. I fuck that guy. What a baby.
Rob Hayes has a great podcast, by the way.
Oh yeah,
Book of Ye.
Yeah,
love
yeah.
it. It's
they
great.
Break down Kanye West songs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Every episode's a new song.
What is harder, going on after somebody who bombs or going on after somebody who kills?
After somebody who bombs.
Okay.
I think it's preferential,
what
though.
What about somebody who opens with a rape joke?
You're at an open mic, like, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
Like Tim did when he was trying to stand up.
Did you do a rape joke?
It wasn't rape.
Open with a rape joke.
Well, look at those eyes, though. That makes sense.
Yeah. I got it right.
You just got to let everyone know your personality right up front.
You want to see my creep face?
Right. You're doing it. Oh, you weren't doing it the whole time we've been here?
No.
It's that guy at the strip club who's by himself and he's talking while he's watching the girl dance.
Yeah, exactly.
And her vagina is real close to his face. He's just
We'll get a picture of that for the website.
No,
and
we won't.
A fistful of $2 bills.
Yeah, get over here, baby. I got twos. I'm going to put a Jefferson in there.
This is funny money condoned by the government.
That's
here
right.
Here we go.
Have you ever tried to spend one and have somebody go, I don't know what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always, you have to explain to them. But no, it was a night of an ice storm, so it was Bobcat Goldthwait. It was on a Friday.
Yeah, Bobcat was like.
And it was at the Funny Farm, and I was hired to do what Larry was doing. Although I tried to write jokes, and I learned my lesson. If you're hired by, if you're a DJ or a morning show host, and you're hired by
you actually prepared material, though.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
When you
attempted, though, that's all that counts.
You got up there.
And but the thing is, though, if you're not a comedian and you don't do comedy all the time, don't write bad jokes, don't force jokes, just get up there, talk about your show, talk about how much you like the comic that's coming up, throw out some shirts, and sit your fucking ass down, because you're not funny.
Right.
And you're just, like you just said, fucking it up for the next guy.
Doesn't mean you're not funny, because I think you're a very funny guy. I think a lot of people would go to bat for you to being funny. But being funny is different in different contexts.
Yes,
you know?
It is.
Like,
yes.
Seth Rogen's one of the funniest movie actors, but he's not great at stand-up anymore,
right.
You know, because
right.
it's a different muscle.
Right. There's a lot of stand-ups that aren't good at hosting.
Right, exactly. So I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to wash your balls for a second.
What was my joke? It was something about...
I don't remember.
No, it wasn't a rape joke. I said, my girlfriend and I just broke up. She's Iranian. Something about Shiites. Our relationship was Sunni, but now it's full of Shiite.
That's a joke.
And then I said something about that's sadder than a baby with AIDS.
Oh, yeah.
So I walked back to where they had the comics would sit in the back. It
You're
wasn't really
him.
A green room. Yeah. And Bobcat looked at me and went, a baby with AIDS. Then I tried to take a comedy class, but I got real nervous and didn't like
Whose
it.
Whose class did you take?
Oh, you know, Big Mike, who's awesome.
Big Kenny.
Big Mike. I'm looking at Mike. Big Kenny, who is a very nice guy, and he's patient, and he, you know, so. But then I'm thinking, you know, do you really take a class for comedy? You did.
No. I took the one and only comedy class taught by Andy Sanford and Gilbert Lawand.
Oh, years
the
ago.
The one and only class.
Wow,
yes.
Wow, I forgot that they did that.
They
though.
Did. I did it because I was writing a story about it.
Yeah.
And then Dave came in. And they watched me do my little thing. And they're like, you know, man, you ought to actually try and do this shit. And so I did. So,
But you had balls. Steph, you got up and did it. She did it repeatedly, right? And you would send me your material.
I did it for like a year and a half
funny.
On and off. Yeah. But they were supportive, though. I mean, the whole Atlanta comedy scene, they're so great, supportive. They really are.
So that's fun.
The thing to me is like how do you just, when you're a comic, do you sit down and go, okay, I'm going to start writing jokes now? Or do you think of things in your head and write them on the proverbial napkin and then take them home? Which now your napkin is your iPhone notes.
Right.
But
I still write on napkins, though.
Good.
Because girls ask what I'm doing at the bar.
Oh, yeah.
So it's pretty good. I also will give my phone number to a girl on a bar, on a napkin. Because they'll always pull their phone and go, just give me your number. And I'm like, I got it.
Yeah.
It's classy as shit.
Yeah. I've never seen this before.
They're like, what is that? It's a pen.
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
So when did you start doing comedy? What made you want to do comedy? And these are the things that interest me, by the way.
Like, no, I like it. I could talk comedy all night.
Everybody.
You started doing stand-up when?
I started doing stand-up around 2009. I tried it back in like 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I went up a couple times. It was like terrible.
And that this was here?
This was in Athens.
Oh, okay.
And, so you're in college.
And then here. Well, yes, but I didn't go to Athens.
Okay.
So like in the summer or whatever, mm-hmm. I'd go there. And then I went, moved away, took a job, started a band.
Mm-hmm.
Then I came back. So I got basically, I think it was, I saved some money, pretty good money,
mm-hmm.
not going to lie, quite a bit.
Oh.
And I was engaged to be married to a woman. Thank you for asking. And I went, everything kind of fell apart all at once.
I
built up a company, sold the company, I had nothing left to do. My fiance and I split up, and I was sitting in Orlando with nothing to do. My buddy Bob Place, who's hilarious, mm-hmm. Comic. He works out of Laughing Skull.
Yeah.
He also has a movie, that American Dirtbags. Did you ever see anything mm-hmm. about that? It's coming out. It's an independent produced movie in Atlanta. They put like $500,000 into it. It's fucking amazing. It
you
comes
seen
out.
It?
I've seen the
I'm
trailer.
In it.
Oh,
yeah,
you're
I'm
in
one
it.
Of six
trailer,
leads.
Too.
It's fucking unbelievable.
Okay.
Wow.
But like Donnell Rollins, Laurie Kilmartin. There's like some really great comics that are in this movie. But it's just like murder porn flick.
Oh, sweet.
Anyway, it's coming. American Dirtbags. You should Google it. It's fucking awesome.
Okay.
But. So he calls me one day and he goes, yo, because he was headlining. He was touring all over and he got a DUI. And so he couldn't drive anymore. And he's like, well, I don't know. I know you're kind of like in between shit. Do you want to? I need help. And I was like, I'm fucking there.
Yeah.
And I just literally got everything out of my apartment, put my car on a trailer, on a budget truck, drove to Atlanta 3 days later.
Yeah.
I got out of my lease because I had money. I was like, I'll buy out of it. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Came to Atlanta. My apartment wasn't ready. I thought it was going to be ready because I like called because I had looked at apartments prior to that just as a goof to see if I was going to move. And they were like, yeah, come up. And I get there, not ready. So I lived in my truck for like a week. Like I slept in the car on the back.
Uh-huh.
I would just leave, take the car, go to shows, drive it back on the trailer and fall asleep in the car. And I drove to Atlanta, got in my car, drove up to Buford where there was a theater called Buford Variety Theater.
That place was awesome.
It was the best.
I loved it.
Picked Bob up. We went and did, I didn't like, that was like my first open mic. It was like 2009 maybe.
Uh-huh.
And then I did it every night since then.
So did you improvise your open mic or did you have material?
Oh, I had material.
Okay.
And boy, was it bad.
Yeah, was it?
Here's the first joke. Hold on.
Okay.
Hey guys, I'm excited to be here. Tonight is my first night. To have sex. Not sure who it's going to be with yet. Oh! I was hilarious. Not much different than that. These days,
no,
there
man.
An open-minded crowd out there.
Yeah.
Though.
Oh, well, the owner, or one of the managers after the set pulls me aside. He goes, hey, I want to talk to you outside. And I was like, this is it, baby. One mic, Hollywood. And he goes, look, man, you got to chill the fuck out. You can't be yelling at old women like that. I was like, I don't even know I did that. And there were other comics like, yeah, but that was fucking rude.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. The whole time I'm like, y'all going to be headlining next weekend. He's like, buddy, you can't be doing that if you're going to come up here.
You thought he was going to be like, yeah, I want to keep you in residency here.
Something, yeah. I thought it was going to be like my break after one show. And no, it was a dick breaking.
I would have thought he was going to have sex with you.
I was hoping. I thought that's how you got ahead in this business.
You know, I've been a fan of stand-up comedy my whole life, as far back as I can remember. Okay, I've always wanted to be a comic. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what that's from. Anyway.
You're a gangster.
Born standing up.
I found a copy of Class Clown on 8-track.
Yeah.
And I think it was in my mother's closet because she had 8-tracks or whatever. And I started listening to it.
You were in there all the time?
Yeah, still am. And I listened to it, and it was one of the funniest things I'd ever heard. And I was young. And then I found a Richard Pryor album, and I'm not going to say what it was called because I don't remember, for one thing. But I found a Richard Pryor 8-track, and I listened to that. And then, you know, we had a store in our town. It was a discount store called McCrory's, and they were a chain. And, you know, have you heard of Newberry's or McCrory's or any of those stores?
No, I wasn't born in the 30s.
Okay.
Remember Berry's?
No. Well, they were a chain, okay.
Remember McCrory?
Remember? And they would sell cutout LPs, and a cutout LP would have a corner cut off of it, they were a dollar. So if you could come up with $1.06, so I went down, and they had Steve Martin records in there. So one of the first comedy LP I ever bought with my own $1.06 was Wild and Crazy Guy.
Yeah.
And so I've just all my life collected comedy albums, and I listened to them over and over again. And I have a routine. When I was single and living at home, I would go to sleep to a Todd Berry record, because a Todd Berry recording is, you know, he's funny, but it's
yeah, 3 minutes in,
yeah,
you're asleep. Based on both his sound of his voice and the content of what he's saying.
You don't like him?
Boy, is that guy a drag.
Oh, is he? You don't like his comedy?
No, he's good. I'm
okay.
Kidding.
Okay.
He's funny, but he's very droll.
He is droll. Good word. And I always thought, you know, I'm going to give this a shot. Got to give this a shot. But I just freeze up, and I can't think of jokes. And it's like, okay, do I do jokes? Do I get up there and try to improvise the whole thing? Do I do impersonations? Because then I found out that most comics hate guys who do stand-up comedy or who do impersonations.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because they can't. I swear to God.
Yeah.
I don't like impersonators because of how much I like impersonators.
Okay. Right.
Like, I don't like it because I want to do it so bad.
Yeah.
Like, when I hear you do impersonators or other people do impersonators, it's like, God fucking damn it, that's good. If I could do that, I'd write my own checks.
Yes.
You know?
I don't know. I've done that my whole life as well. And Jeff's always been funny. I don't know why you never tried it, Jeff.
I tried it a couple times.
You look like a comic.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's loving life over here.
When we were in junior high, there was a lip syncing contest at a movie theater in the next town over.
We told the story on the podcast.
Did you really grow up in the 40s? What are we doing right now?
It was called the Arcadia Theater.
Yeah.
Tonight we'll be doing lip syncing.
Make sure you turn in your toothpaste tubes for the boys in the war.
That's right.
If you put a turnip on your belt.
Buy one, get one free popcorn if you bring in aluminum foil. So Jeff did Rapping Rodney and got booed off stage because he did the whole thing.
Well, that was a good place to stop it. Everybody else did like 2 minutes or whatever.
We thought it was the rule of that back then because they had a show on TV. What was it called?
Yeah.
Putting on the hits is what it was called. Putting on the hits.
There you go.
And okay, so again, back to Stephanie. How did you find being, you know, married and working? How did you find the time or the interest to do stand up comedy?
Well, that's why I don't do it anymore.
<She didn't.
laughs> That's one of those things. I just realized that I didn't have the passion for it. I mean, you really have to have a passion for it. When you suck, it doesn't matter. Like, you do 3 shows a night, go from one place to the next place. You may suck here, you may suck here, but then the last place you might kill it. And I just didn't have the love for it like that. When I would do a great show, it was awesome. I loved it. But whenever it wasn't up to what I thought it should be, I just beat myself up about it so bad. I couldn't get past that. So.
I think it's different for everybody. But I, for me, and I know a lot of comics that I hang out with, that's the bombing is what makes you better.
Right.
You know, so you have to like see the gold in the shit.
Yeah.
Well, those guys that they'll say like, oh, well, you could still go up, you know, a couple times a month. Well, you're not any good if you only go up a couple times a month.
You know, if it's a hobby or if it's something you
do. But I don't, that's what I'm saying. I don't love it that much to just go up and be crappy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's not like knitting.
Right, you know.
I feel like I'm going to stand up tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough one.
I feel like a lot of people can be good at stand up, but you have to really give it everything to be great.
Yeah, I feel like you do.
I have a very dark and dirty mind. Very, very dark. And to me, I would probably offend a lot of people, which is good. I don't know if you can offend this generation.
Yeah, one of the highest paid comics right now is Anthony Jeselnik.
Yes.
He's the dark prince of comedy.
He was such a great judge.
Yeah,
host. He was funnier than, you know, most of the comics except for Clayton.
Yeah.
So you do that night in Buford and you get kind of scolded a little bit, but where did you go after that?
I just, everywhere I could go. Me and Bob Place went on the road a lot, so I was like his manager. So the deal was, he wanted me to drive him around. He's like, I'll pay you all the money I make. I don't care about the money. I just want to not lose the gigs. I want to do the shows. I'll sell merch. He had this t-shirt he would sell. And he goes, I'll make sure that, and I said, look, as long as it doesn't cost me money, like, I'll break even. Just pay for the gas, you know, and
that obviously
let me
wasn't
sleep in your hotel.
First DUI.
Oh no! This was several. Right, he was several in. Yeah, yeah. You can get a provision license. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I was like, I'll do it, but I want to do stand up, and so let me do spots on your shows, host whatever wherever we're going. Will let me do. Let me just be the guy opening. He's like, absolutely. So we just hit the road. You know, I moved back, and so we'd do the road for a while, then we'd come back, do every night. The first time we went to the Laughing Skull Lounge, me and him. Like, at the time, the deal was you had to line, you had to get there as when the list dropped and then put your name on and pay $10. Every comic had to pay the cover. Huh. And if you got up, like, if you they picked your name, then you got your money back.
Oh, okay.
So you weren't paying for stage time. Well, me and him used to go there every, because it was only on Wednesdays. And it's the list dropped at, like, 7, but we would get there at, like, 4. And sit in the hallway in the bathroom at the Vortex just waiting for the list drop because we're going to be first in line. We're not letting anybody do this. And all the regulars would come in and they'd skip and they'd go in the back, start the list.
Who was the regulars
and then drop
at that time?
You know, like Matt O'Meara and all, and a bunch of guys that don't even, I don't even know where they went.
Right.
They disappeared. And so we'd get like bumped 3 or 4 or 5 weeks in a row. And finally we got up and it was like, okay. And then like they just, it showed, I think more in comedy, as long as you show that you're trying, whether you're funny or not, as long as you're trying to get better and you show up and you have a good attitude, that's all that really counts.
Vinny Bucci.
Yeah, Vinny Bucci. No,
sometimes though, he's funny.
He's great. I think Bucci, you know, he's got
energy.
So much gumption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gumption.
And he has his own unique delivery.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to get him in here one of these days. But anyway, I wasn't knocking him. I was just saying
that. No, I think Bucci's a sweetheart.
That he was interesting but overused.
I got your thing right here. That was one of my favorite Bucci bits. He would do like 5 minutes just grabbing his dick.
Yeah.
I got you right here.
Jerry Truman, though. Do you remember him?
I do. I saw him the other night.
Jerry had this mind that it was almost it would almost make Andy Kaufman cringe, I think, the things he would come up with. But they were brilliant. And he was, but he was so innocent.
Could deliver it though,
and nice. Now I don't know if I never saw him do stand up. He just was great on the air, coming up with things, and he had to be goaded into things. But when you got him there, he would just be in the zone. I just found him to be a fascinating.
I started a documentary. I have a trailer up. I could show you. I actually started a documentary about Jerry because I thought it was so interesting. I had the same like thought process when I first met him. I was like, I gotta film this guy. Like, where does he go home? Does he sleep hanging upside down? What is this guy? And so I followed him around for like a couple weeks, and I just never ended up. But I cut a trailer together, and it's
on your website, right?
Trailer. No,
it's not.
It's somewhere. It's somewhere though. I saw.
But he has a pretty together family though, because wasn't it his parents that were like, "Look, you got to."
Well, they're very protective of him,
right?
Because it was starting to get, you know, certain things.
They knew that you were
mean.
Making fun of him.
Well, not everybody was making fun of him. I was doing an homage.
Well.
Larry was the one that was doing most of the making fun of. And a lot of the comics actually gave, like, that's why a lot of comics didn't like Larry, because they knew that he was one, like, what the fuck are you doing to this kid, you know? It was real, like, God, you know that these two, come on.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like,
right.
it's not funny anymore.
Right.
It's not funny when they're not in on the joke.
Exactly.
You know?
And the thing about Vinny, though, Vinny Bucci was always in on the mic'd up joke.
Yeah.
Right.
And he wasn't dumb. He's not dumb. And, you know, sometimes the attacks are brutal on him.
Yeah.
And I had always talked to him after the show, and I go, you got to just remember that, you know, none of this comes from reality or truth, and, you know, you're doing a great job, and I appreciate you being, you know, hanging in there. And he goes, oh, thanks, man, thanks, man, thanks, man. But anyway, if you do want to check out Mike's website, Mike Albanese, who is here for the Red Clay Comedy Fest, it's inmyownhead.com is your website.
Yeah, it is. Can't believe I got that domain name.
I like
but
that.
I've had it for a while, yeah.
You can check him out on Twitter, @BigManMike, and also BigManMike on Facebook. So I just love this process, so I'm going to keep asking you about
please.
It.
No, please, seriously, let's talk comedy all night.
You get comfortable, and it becomes a routine, and it's starting to become your career.
Yeah, I mean, it's still becoming a career.
Right.
I don't, you know, I currently make my living off of stand-up, but it's not.
What,
I mean, the living.
What clubs are you playing in New York?
I play stand-up New York, Gotham a little bit, and Creek in the Cave. And actually, the owner of the Creek in the Cave, Rebecca Trent, she is one of the producers on Red Clay, which is pretty cool. She's coming in tomorrow. But, you know, just kind of getting in. It takes a while in New York. It's a totally different animal up there.
Doesn't Shalewa have a show up there, too?
Yeah, she's got a show at the Creek called Thug Passion every Friday at 6 if you're in Long Island City. It's fantastic. It's my favorite show. It's one of the only ones I go, like Mike's, I go back to at the Creek.
She's amazing.
She's great.
Yeah. I absolutely love
Shalewa
her.
Shalewa Sharp. She's an Atlanta comic.
Yeah, I've seen her.
Her also, comedy album was one of my picks.
Yeah. Also,
yeah, I remember that.
On the fest. She'll be on the, she's coming back.
Oh, wow.
Which is exciting. Look at these, all these comics. It's so good.
Yay, ATL.
And Mastodon.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard, I told these guys that they plugged the festival on Chris Hardwick's podcast the other
day. Did, yeah.
Yeah,
that was pretty, that was pretty rad. That's pretty nice. they got a lot of listeners. We definitely saw a spike, and we keep seeing spikes from the West Coast, so we're assuming that's mostly.
Yeah. You didn't mention it, but Santa Gold is going to be on that Pabst thing,
yes,
too.
They are. Santa
Love
Gold's
the
unbelievable.
Shit out of Santa Gold. Yeah. So
in New York, what's the goal? What are the clubs that are the goal? I'm going to assume Rodney's or Dangerfield's.
I've never set foot in that place, and I don't know that I ever would.
Somebody said it's just not happening
anymore.
It's not a hit
there.
Place.
It's not. I don't know. It's booked by some like booking agency that also books like one nighters and Lake Wong Palm Pack.
Okay.
Like it's just weird. It's a weird thing. I got booked on a show opening for Brent Morin. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember Undateables.
Yeah.
He was the guy that sang a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny guy, sweetheart. In Texas, I was booked to open for him.
Right.
And I was having some issues because I was doing some corporate gigs in another club. I was on for like a 6-week run where I was out on the road, and I couldn't make it work to where I was going to get there, and it was going to cost me way more money than I was going to make. And so a couple weeks out, I emailed the booker, who also books Dangerfield. And I said, look, I can't put this together. It's plenty of time in advance. Like, I'm just not going to be able to make that gig. I'm sorry. If that fucks me, then I guess I'm fucked. Like, I don't know what you want me to tell you.
Right.
And she immediately, the booker replies, great. I can't believe this is not good. Like, this is truly not good for your career. This isn't good for the club. We're probably fucked at this point. So, okay.
Uh-huh.
Basically, like, thanks, go fuck yourself.
Right.
10 minutes later, I get an email back from her. She goes, oh, hey, turns out you were bumped off that show months ago. No worries.
So you weren't even told.
I wasn't even on the show. I was going to break my fucking ass in half to get to this place. I was going to lose a ton of money just to make my commitment. And and she reams me. And then it's like, but then if I went at her, how about you just came at me like I'm some sort of asshole.
Yeah.
But no, she books Dangerfields. And I'm like, hey, can I get into Dangerfield? That was my twist. Instead of being mad, I was like, oh, well, that sucks. Any chance I can get an audition to Dangerfields? And she's like, send a tape. Bitch, I sent a tape when you booked me at
you
your fucking 500-seat club. It's just fucking miserable.
All right, the other one I know a lot about is Caroline's. Because
Caroline's
hear it all
is
the
great.
Time.
I played Caroline's a couple times. Yeah, yeah.
Stop that, Ira.
And what about the Comedy Cellar?
The Cellar. Yeah,
yeah, right. Comedy Cellar is one of those places. You know, it's the legend. It's the most famous comedy club in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, so it's, you know, they're very particular.
Where is the Comedy Cellar?
It's in Greenwich Village on McDougal.
Okay.
Between West 3rd and Bleecker.
Right beside a really kick-ass pizza place from the Louis intro.
That pizza place sucks.
Is it really?
Does it really?
Yeah, it's no good.
And where do you live in New York?
I live in Astoria. Uh-huh. I'm actually a pizza tour guide. That's my day job when I'm home.
Really?
If I'm at home for a long stretch, I do pizza tours. Yeah, I take groups of tourists around to 3 different pizzerias, and we eat a slice. We do a history
lesson.
Raise
Original and Raise
Original. It's a myth, but we go to the place that the myth started.
Ah, okay.
We get to see that it's no longer Ray's. It's a place called.
So, what
Prince
are the best
Street.
Three?
Well, that's really up to what week it is, what day it is. I try a new slice every month,
Personal
every week.
Personal preference.
Okay. Currently, there's a place in the Lower East Side called Scars that I'm really into. It's brand new, but they do everything fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Like they mill their own flour fresh.
Oh,
like, it's crazy. Wow. Yeah, but it looks like a pizza place from when we were kids. Like it's dark smoke mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
Dark wood paneling, like brown glass chandeliers.
Red and white
bowling,
plaid.
Yeah, bowling wood, bowling alley seats, like the real thin wood panel seats. Yeah, it's really, but it's brand new. Like they designed it to look old. Like Budweiser. PBR is a sponsor. I can't stop saying their name.
Please.
The Budweiser and like the old like lumpy mugs, like the big cold mugs.
Yeah, it's so unbelievable.
Yeah, they do personal pan pizzas, but they're like legit.
Oh, they're not full of grease.
No, but they are. But like good
grease.
Yeah. But it's like done right. Like imagine a personal pan pizza, but done with craft.
They got the good crushed ice, like the real.
Oh yeah, yeah, from
ice.
The sodas. Yeah, for sure.
They have one of those tables that has a Miss Pac-Man in the table.
Oh yeah.
No, I don't know if they have. I don't know. It's pretty.
They had that at this place, Pudgy's Pizza. And this is what we had. This was greasy, slimy pizza, but it's home.
Speaking of beer, though, what is this beer that you brought us?
It's PBR.
It's PBR.
Past Blue River.
No, I was doing a show at Second Self, which is around the corner from where we are now.
Oh, you were doing a show there?
I was doing a show.
Oh, I thought you were just hanging out.
No, they had a show, and the guy that was running the joint, he's also lived in Astoria up until not too long ago, and they had this, like, they were like, it's this experimental beer. Here, take a six-pack. I was like, yeah.
Experimental.
What's it called?
This is called...
It's got ecstasy in it.
Sweet Ale Spicy Lemongrass Exotic Ginger Dry.
I'm going to take one home if
it's
I can.
It's really good.
Do you mind?
I don't know. Yes, I do mind.
Okay.
You don't get to take the beer that I brought for you specifically.
Yeah,
all
if you
these
don't drink
animals
it now,
are drinking it. But
you can't have it.
They already took that coffee home last week, man. You
that
can't
coffee
have some
was
every
so
week.
Fucking awesome.
It was good.
I mean, now
coffee?
I feel like
Thanks,
I've had
Billy.
The best crack, and now I can't find this crack now because I live
Ooh,
out in the
yeah,
middle
you live
nowhere.
In the sticks. Last week we had the founder of, have you heard of Banjo Cold Brew?
No, but I love cold brew. I've become a real fuckstick when it comes to cold brew.
Is that all over New York now?
Yeah, and I used to be really against it. Mm-hmm. Just because I love coffee. I love a hot coffee, especially in like the fall or in the winter, especially up north.
Guess
it's like
what you can do.
It's perfect.
You can microwave it, which is what I do.
Well, no. You can.
They said people do that.
Yeah. But I'm a big fan of like coffee.
Yeah.
And I was like, I stayed away from cold brew because I was like, I'm fucking good. But it's so goddamn hot sometimes and no wind in that in the fucking concrete jungle. I was like, I can't drink this coffee. I'm sweating my tits through my shirt right now. And there's air on, I assume, right?
No, I meant to turn it down.
The
Oh, good. Can you turn it lower, please?
I was that way. I don't like sweet coffee. Here's how
no,
I like
me neither.
I like coffee with I like coffee with cream in it, half and half. It has to be half and half, and otherwise I don't like it. And I'll, you know, whatever.
So bougie.
I know. But I bought a bottle of Banjo 2 months ago because it was the middle of the day and it's been hot all summer and I'm going to try this. And I started drinking it. I'm like, it's cold coffee. So I went and I put it in a cup and microwaved it and I tried it and it was the best because, and we found this out last week, is that cold brew is 70 to 75% less acidic than coffee.
Yeah.
Than, you know, brewed coffee.
The
so.
Gases expel out of it faster. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've researched.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about it.
Well, I make my own.
You got to try this Banjo.
You do?
Shit.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you make your own?
It takes
this
like a Banjo 24
shit. Don't call it shit.
I admit it like shit, like it's great. I'm sorry.
Okay. No,
it's
okay.
I don't know this place. It could be dog shit coffee.
Next week,
no
you guys
got
to listen to this Mike Albany shit.
It's okay. If you heard my set, you'd probably say the same thing.
Don't worry. I'm going to edit in comedy later.
You should. I got some stuff.
Yeah. Do you have an album?
No.
I want your album when it comes out.
If someone ever wants me to do an album, I'll do an album.
Okay. Anyway, I interrupted you.
Record it here. Okay.
Yeah, you make right your here. Own cold brew.
Yeah, you just grind it up mm-hmm. like you would, but you do like twice as much.
Okay.
And then you just let it sit in the wall. You just put it in the like a jug or a tub or whatever mm-hmm. like that you put in the fridge. You get it all wet. You just let it sit for 12 hours, and you pull it out, and then you pour a little bit more cold water over to break up like that little brownie
Sounds
batter
like my
mix
sex life.
That comes up. And then you put it back in, and then the fridge for another 12 hours, and you bring it out, strain it, and it's delicious. It's strong as fuck.
It's a steeping process.
Yeah, it's a steeping process. Yeah, yeah. And then it's a commitment because then you got to like drain. It's this fucking nightmare. But
it's extra caffeinated.
It's delicious.
That's what we almost like.
Oh yeah, we
almost flipped the table over last week.
I like a little almond milk, a little unsweetened almond milk in mine.
Almond
That's
milk.
Good stuff.
Love the almond.
I figure I say it wrong because I know it sounds stupid already.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
If I distract you from the fact that I'm drinking almond milk. Saying almond milk.
Is I it like really, cashew milk.
Is it really milk if it's made out of nuts?
No, this is blended
milk from nuts.
It's blended nut juice.
Yes. How are they legally allowed to call it milk?
Well, they don't think they do. I think it's called almond nipples. Drink.
It's called nipple
it's
drink?
Called, yeah. Almond drink. Yeah.
Almond
drink. RedClayComedy.com is where you will go if you would like to find out more about the Red Clay Comedy Festival. Now, what year are we in?
This is the second year.
All right.
So we're getting to become annual. We're already booking next year, and it's going to look so good.
And it's always going to be down here in the Red Clay.
It's always going to be in Atlanta, mm-hmm. yeah. And, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. The barbecue, everything. It's going
to
be great.
Yeah. Tim, you got a year to work on your set.
Anyway.
Yeah. I'd invite you to come host a show, but I'm sure you would cancel last minute.
Oh, God.
Anyone? Oh, you got... There was the Battle of the Beards. I used to ask Tim every year if he wanted to come host the show or come in to make an appearance. And yeah.
And
12 hours before, bro, I'm not going to make it.
Yeah. Sorry, bro.
I'm seeing Bell on you completely.
Do you know, I was a sad...
He'd always cancel. He would just not show. Right. But
I was a sad, sad, lonely man living in Dunwoody. And all I cared about was, I got to get home, man. I got to get home and do nothing.
You could have went out and, like,
I hear that,
scored
though.
A hot comedy chicks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't want hot comedy chicks. I don't know any hot.
He's got a girl now. He doesn't want.
He's got a hot news lady. She's like on the news.
She's on the news.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Caitlin Pratt.
He's googling.
Like 5 a.m. She's out there like in the shit. Telling
yeah, she
about
gets
stuff.
Up at 2 in the morning and she goes to work. And her first break is usually at 4:30.
First break, like on the air.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought your first break was like first chance you got to have a call.
No, she's on Good Day Atlanta every morning. Next week she's doing the that, and she's going to be anchoring the noon. Every day.
Oh, she's holding down a desk.
Yeah,
good for her.
She does that quite often.
What is it? What's her name? Oh, this is weird that I'm looking at your girlfriend. It was going to be a joke. Like, let me check her out. Now it's like a thing I want to do.
K-A-I-T-L-Y-N.
I guess you can say this on your show because she's a public figure. So it's not like you're hiding. What's her last name?
Pratt. P-R-A-T-T.
If you follow us on Twitter, you'll be able to find her through Tim.
Yeah. And it's funny, when you type my name into Google, which I never do, you see Tim Andrews, Caitlin Pratt, Tim Andrews, Steph Swain, Tim Andrews, Radio Labyrinth.
Yo, she cute, though.
I never make it.
Yeah, I know she is.
What the fuck's she doing with you?
That's exactly. What's the joke?
Said everybody that saw her picture ever.
Yes, they always go, son, you outkicked your coverage. Yeah. All right. I know. Yeah, and she's been very, very supportive while I'm, you know, lounging around hoping to find a radio job, you know, and she's cool with me working at Mary Todd.
Well, good thing radio's not a dying industry because yeah. Right in there.
Well, AM radio isn't a dying industry.
Now, when is it? You got something brewing, don't you?
I hope so. Yeah, the show that we do with Eric, you know, we only want that to expand, so hopefully that'll happen one of these days.
That's good, man. I can't wait to get the offer to come back.
Are you going to take that offer back?
If they give me an offer, I'd come back probably.
Shit, yeah.
I'll take a job.
Why not?
Work it for 3 months and quit like I do every job.
So what do you think about the people that have come up that I would know of? Because I don't really go out to comedy a lot anymore. Here's my thing about it. I loved going to the Laughing Skull Lounge. I still like going to the Laughing Skull Lounge.
It's a
great venue. It's comfortable. It's not uncomfortable. It's I mean, beside it being cool and everything and being kind of like a comedians,
club.
Yeah, comedians club. Thank you, Ira. I also like the old Punchline. I loved the way it looked.
Yeah.
I liked being treated, you know, oh, you get to sit in the balcony and watch the show and meet the comics and stuff, which is what I did enjoy that. I'm not going to lie. I didn't like going, and it's not that I didn't like it, but I didn't like going to the Improv because
it was uncomfortable.
It was a comedy club where you sit down at a table with a bunch of people that you don't know, and they're talking. And, you know, you have the date night shit. And by the way, let me just digress a little bit. That's why I like the Laughing Skull so much, because people who go there are there for the comedian, and they're there not on date night. You know what I mean?
They're on a date, but they both want to go see comedy.
Exactly.
It's not a,
oh,
let's do this. This could be a fun thing.
Right. Let's go see so-and-so.
Now, that doesn't mean that the crowds at the Improv weren't great, because there were some great crowds there. But it wasn't uncomfortable, tall ceilings, weird lighting, concrete floors. It just wasn't built for comedy. However, they're bringing it back, from what I hear, and it's supposed to be very nice comparatively. So
they're working on it now?
Like I think they're under construction right now.
They're building a building?
No, but they're taking over a space that was like an old theater. So it's like this room was built for sound and for performance.
Where is it going to be?
It's going to be in Buckhead. I don't know the exact location.
That's the other thing I didn't like.
It's a
close to my house.
The Funny Farm, that's closed, right? It's
sure
been gone.
Is, yeah.
I remember I was doing a show. I was going to open for James Adomian, who, as you know, is hilarious.
Headlined at Red Clay last year. Mm-hmm. Not trying to bring up Red Clay this whole show.
Didn't sell one ticket. They canceled the show.
The guy that ran Funny Farm is a little bit of a doof.
Who? Who ran Funny Farm?
People. It's interesting point, though.
People.
Gilbert.
Yeah. I love Gilbert.
Gilbert Lowland, who is we run Red Clay.
Oh.
He's the one that discovered the Laughing Skull for comedy.
Oh,
he was
did.
The first booker of the Laughing Skull. Yeah, him and Jared Harris.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jared Harris
cool.
is also funny.
Very funny.
Yeah.
I don't see him a lot on social media so much anymore.
Yeah, he's around. He's still, he's.
So wait, Marshall came in later?
Yeah, came in after that and started doing it there.
Oh, I thought Marshall was the guy. That started it.
Currently.
Yeah, but currently,
it was a theater that was empty for a while. They used to do burlesque there.
Yeah, Lucky Yates did the last show there.
And then Gilbert and Jared saw the space long after it stopped doing anything and just like, this is fucking perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do a show here? And then, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was
Gilbert.
People.
I wish it was the other Gilbert.
Gilbert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gilbert's a funny guy in his own right.
Gilbert's great.
He's a great comic. He's a great host.
He's got some
stuff
brewing right now, too.
Oh, really?
Cold brew?
Liberty to say.
Is it in the fridge? 12 hours.
He was always good to me. Like, he would always give me opportunities. He let me open up for Kevin, or me and Clayton opened for .com one time at the funny farm. And, of course, Clayton was a million times funnier than .com. I mean, it was almost sad when he came out there.
Whole act. Y'all know Tina Fey?
Yeah, we do. We got it. Your name's .com, dummy.
This is the point in the show where we all go have a cigarette. So if you don't mind sticking around and coming back shooting the shit a little bit more with us, we'd love you to stick around, please.
Yeah, buddy.
I will turn down the air while we do
that. Yeah. It's
does that mean like you'll make a cooler in here?
Cooler. I was turning down. Cool. Yes.
Yeah.
This feels like my living room.
It's thick.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on iTunes and like us and give us ratings. We'll read them at the end of the show. Also, follow us on Twitter at @radio_labyrinth and on Facebook, Radio Labyrinth.
If you think Jesus was white, you're not allowed to have an opinion on gun control. That's right. That's right. Heavy hitter. I'm coming at you with the hard stuff. Let's softball it. I can read the crowd. I can read you guys. Let's softball it out of that. TSA, what's going on at the airport? What's going on there? Taking our shoes off. When you get to the airport and they tell you to take your shoes off, it's like, cool your jets. We all know the shoe thing by now. It's 2016. If someone shows up like, what? I have to take my shoes off? Arrest and kill that person. They're probably not a terrorist, but they're holding up the line, and that's enough for me. I mean, what? What is terrorism anyways? Like, on a local level, what is it? Like, holding up the line? Yes, in my everyday life, that's terrorism.
I don't have Dish Network.
No, neither did I. We did live shows. We toured it a little bit, like, as a group. We would do stand-up and sketches and whatever. But Bob got super hammered at one of them because we were sponsored by a tequila company.
Yeah.
Or a vodka. And he was just pounding like Wainates and vodka. And he got blackout drunk and like took his dick out. And he said this to a guy in the crowd. Dead sounds. He goes, who's this guy? You look like a faggot.
Oh my God. I knew something.
Oh, it was bad.
I knew something was wrong when I was in the vortex. And all of a sudden I felt both of my ass cheeks completely
clench,
like grabbed them both, like Bobby. And almost tore them off. And I was like, what is happening? And it was Bob, and he was like, ah, and I'm like, what Bob is Place, happening?
In the truest sense of the word, Bob Place is 100% an artist. Like, that guy has nothing but art on the brain.
He took my move. That's the thing that I do.
He does it to me, though, so don't worry about it. Oh.
Hey, this week we have a guest in studio. Welcome back. I like to do this like radio, like we just had this huge
break. Is there like music that just played?
No, we're back.
A little break?
I play a little promo that I made over Fish.
Oh, cool.
One of my favorite bands. And it says, hey, if you like us, you know, please do the social media thing. But this is Mike Albanese. Am I saying it right?
It's Albanese, I learned recently.
Okay, Mike Albanese.
Yeah.
Red Clay Comedy Fest is in Atlanta this weekend. If you're listening to this podcast before Friday, then it's this weekend. If you're listening to it on Friday, it's tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, right?
No, just
just Saturday and Sunday?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. This is why I'm going to get this out Wednesday night. And so anyway, it doesn't matter. It does matter to Mike, but you know, okay.
You got it. You're in there,
fucking
baby.
It all up, Andrews.
You can follow Mike on Twitter, @BigManMike. You can follow him on Facebook, Big Man Mike. And you can also check out his website. There's all sorts of comedy clips and info and his tour information. It's called InMyOwnHead.com. And he also has an IMDb page. IMDb, not P.
Jeff's Internet name. Movie Data Pedophilia.
So how did you get on that page?
Oh, when you like to know, here's some pics.
This is the second year of the Red Clay Comedy Festival. Headliner is Rory Scovel, who's very funny. You can see him on all sorts of shows. He also has comedy specials. Jack White of the White Stripes. And, you know,
producing it, yeah.
Is producing a film movie. Now,
yes.
That's going to be awesome. For Third Man Records. Also joining the festival this year is Clayton English, who won Last Comic Standing, and he is a hometown hero of ours. Stephanie's especially.
I love him. It's I the love best. Him.
All funny. Sorts of comedians. Jared Logan, Joe List, Amber Nelson, Joe Firestone, Tim Dillon.
Joe List has a funny, interesting point. Louis C.K. just did the Fox a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Joe was his opener.
Was he?
Yeah. He toured, he actually just toured Europe for like 6 weeks with Louis, just doing European dates.
You told me that.
He's my old roommate.
Yeah,
he used to live with me and the Indian guy.
Tell that story.
About what?
About how he got picked up on that tour.
Oh, yeah. It was, he
opened
for
roommate.
Him in the state. Yeah, he
opens, the Indian
Joe
guy.
List opens for Louis all the time in America, which seems like a point that you wouldn't have to make until you realize that he goes international.
Mm-hmm.
And like 3 or 4 days before Louis goes, is going to this long European tour, he just called Joe up and goes, hey, are you busy for the next 6 weeks or whatever?
No.
He goes, no, what's up? And he goes, come to Europe with me. Meet me in like Prague or some shit like that. Like some... He like had to sway to like he just like picked up his shit and left and like went to Europe and then was just with Louis for a month and a half.
Nice.
Or something crazy like that.
Well,
yeah.
I saw that show last week. It was great.
Yeah, the opener, so the tall skinny kid.
Yeah.
He's going to be at the festival. He's unbelievable. He's so funny. It's annoying how funny Joe List is.
Yeah, he was great.
He's so goddamn likable.
How was CK real quick?
He was good, and I was pleasantly surprised because I wasn't super crazy about his more recent specials that I've seen on Netflix or whatever. They're okay. I mean, Louis is always good.
Yeah.
But I was dying laughing pretty much the whole time.
I tried to get a free ticket, but I don't get free tickets anymore to anything.
You got a free one for Red Cloud. Oh, you're going to
we're going
wedding.
To a wedding.
All right, well,
Rachel
next
Feinstein.
Year we'll be
was
Red
on
Bay, though.
What's that?
Rachel Feinstein?
On Louis?
Was opening for him.
Her and Joe she and was Joe Mackey opened for him a lot.
Yeah.
Joe Mackey was he's so funny.
He's
oh
great,
my God.
Yeah.
The high voice guy?
It was at the Fox, right?
Kind of.
Yeah.
I love seeing comedy at the Fox.
Yeah. We've seen anything at the Fox.
We saw George Carlin there.
Oh, yeah.
The first time we saw him live.
And they were very strict about no cell phones and all that, which was great.
There's a club I just played with Joe DeRosa, super funny comic, in Denver called Comedy Works.
Yeah.
Unbelievable club. They have these pouches that when you walk into the club, they make you watch you turn your phone off or put it in airplane mode.
Yeah.
And they put it in these pouches that they have the same locking mechanism that they put those tags on clothes in stores. And then it magnetically locks the bag so you can't get in there.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to use your phone, you have to leave the club and unlock it. Then you have to lock it before you come back in, and they have unlocking stations as you leave.
That's great.
It makes the show so fucking good. And one of the girls that works there, one of the staff, I go, is that a problem? She goes, it turns out there's a lot of first responders in Denver. Didn't know that. Oh. I need my phone.
I need my phone.
You don't come in. And the rule is, don't come in. You're not allowed in with your phone.
I got to check my Instagram.
I mean, they didn't, obviously they didn't need to do that at the Fox, and everybody was super respectful.
Yeah.
So if you have a good crowd, they're just going to do it. And it makes it so much better because every time you go to a big concert, music or comedy nowadays, you got an iPad in front of your face.
No,
fuck
God.
Out of here.
I saw Carol Burnett at the Beacon Theater last week.
Uh-huh.
In New York. Unfucking believable.
Wow.
She still has it. And
she's coming here
to
pick her. Maybe she did it
still.
Yeah. She's coming here?
She's beautiful.
She is still beautiful.
She's so gorgeous. Yeah. She's great. I mean, she's like 100, but she's, she's gorgeous.
But I watched that show when it aired, with my grandmother sitting in her lap on Sunday nights. And that's how, and then it went into syndication, so I would watch it every night. It was on TBS for a while, years and years ago in the 80s. And, Harvey Korman and Tim Conway and all the people on her show, Vicki Lawrence, Ken, what's his face from F Troop? Do you remember his name? Ken Berry was his name from F Troop.
And what was the Lyle Wagner?
Lyle Wagner, from, he was on Wonder Woman.
I had a crush on him.
He was on Wonder Woman.
What would Wink Martindale think?
He was right there. You see, I had a type.
But now, a couple years ago, when YouTube came out and then everything got on there, I started watching old episodes again, and I was like, God, she was so beautiful.
Yeah,
and she's a dame.
Yeah.
I was 10th row back.
Nice.
The Beacon is
and you
killing.
Know how, yeah. Oh man, it's so great. That's my first time there. But you know how in the show she would talk to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole show, an hour and a half. House lights on, just talking to the crowd. It was her on stage with a microphone. That's it.
Oh man,
she played sketches every now and again. She would like say, "Oh, that played the sketch," and she played like a minute or two of sketches. But the whole show was just her talking to the crowd.
So it was more like one woman show than
just talk. It was unbelievable. People
did she play the Gone with the Wind sketch?
Oh, yeah, of course.
With the dress.
With the dress. Unbelievable. That's in the Smithsonian, apparently.
That dress was made out of drapes.
Yeah.
My favorite character on the entire show was the office, where she was the Duncy lady who was the secretary for the old man, and it was Tim Conway. And you go, Mrs. Higgins, would you come in here, please? And she goes, okay. Anyway. Yeah. RedClayComedy.com. How are tickets?
Tickets are great. We're running out of Rory tickets, so get those now. We still have some of the passes left. It's a big ask. It's $100 for the Comedy Nerd pass, but you get every headliner, every showcase show, which if you bought those individually is $90 worth of shows.
Right.
Plus you get Project Paps, which is in its of itself, I think $70. All the we have a special barbecue that's only for the performing comedians and the pass holders, so it's like a super fan fest. If you want to come in, interact, hang out, eat a bunch of great barbecue from King's Barbecue.
See Mastodon, NoFX.
NoFX.
Run the Jewels.
Run the Jewels with Killer Mike, who just got a drill named after him.
No, oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm absolutely in love with Killer Mike. It's I saw him with when he opened for Big Boy two years ago.
And the Outkast in the
no,
park?
No, it was just Big Boy when he was touring by himself, when he was still trying to get Andre to hook up with him or whatever. He was in a cast and shit. Yeah. It was still a great show, but yeah, Killer Mike just crushed it.
This festival is going to be stupid. So for, I mean, $100 is not that big considering what you get. And we got a couple left. They went really quickly. We've got a few left of those, so get them now.
I love the fact that that you and Dave Stone and Andy Sanford and a lot of different people that we haven't even talked about tonight that came on the regular guys in that last run that we did from 2008 up until about 2012. I think that was a good 4-year arc before it just started collapsing. Mm-hmm. I thought that we met a lot of cool people. I love seeing that you guys are all like making it now.
Well, some of them are.
You're going to make it. You're making it. Look at you.
I'm never a pilot.
You never stop working. Yeah. Every time I hear your name or you come up in conversation.
It's in your girlfriend's head as she's having sex with you.
That's right. Well, it's not very long. It's not. you've seen her. She's pretty. The fact that you're gonna make it, man. You're a humper. You're out there doing it every day. Listen, you work.
I appreciate the confidence. Send me all that mojo you can.
Well, you just said you're filming a pilot.
Yeah,
I'm working on a pilot with a network right now. I don't want to talk too much about it, but it's fun. But watch me on Facebook. I do Facebook Lives with a buddy, Alexis, and out of New York. We do these. We call them Fat Ventures, where we go and try the craziest food that we can find. We do fat physical adventures too. We just did one where we went to this. Foam gym, like a trampoline gym where they had the big foam pits you can jump into. Man, that was my neck still hurts from that. That was a week ago.
I've done that.
Yeah, it's crazy. So much fun. No, but similar to that is the show we're working on.
To hear you say that you're working with a network, like a lot of people say, I'm working on a pilot. Okay, you're shooting it yourself. You're doing your own sizzle reel and all that stuff. But you're actually working with a network, so
yeah, they're asking us for certain things. They're aware of what we're doing. They're sending us the stuff. Yeah, it's. I mean, we're on the fringe of it, but we're getting there. We're getting close.
So, would you do like a mashup? Like, do you ever watch Fuck That's Delicious?
Yeah.
So kind of like that, only touring your comic touring around eating at different
basically,
places or whatever.
Yeah, there's a little bit. There's some weird twists and shit that we're putting in it. And it's a lot of fun. So hopefully in the next we'll have something.
Show,
so. Yeah. But we do it on Facebook Live. I post it. We go. It's called Fat Ventures.
We have to friend you first.
You had to friend me. At Big Man Mike.
I'm friends with you.
Yeah, we'll have a page of it. We'll have a page eventually. So.
And when we post the podcast, we'll of course tag everything and put all your of your info in there, and of course you'll share it with all your fans.
Of course.
On the Red Clay page.
Yeah. All 200 people that are fans of Red Clay.
So you were what? You were born in the 80s, right?
Yeah, 84.
84.
My mother's maiden name is...
What?
So my mother's maiden name is...
I don't know your mother's maiden name. I did meet your mother, yesterday.
Yeah, giving my birth year and all the information.
I met his mother yesterday.
Oh, that's right. She did. She said she came over there.
We were doing a live show from the Duluth Fall Festival.
And she came out?
Sealy.
Yeah,
she's a doll.
Yeah, she was very nice. She said, it's nice to meet all of you.
How was it out there?
It was great.
Yeah?
Hot.
Hot?
Yeah. Only one more day of the heat.
I saw some Facebook Lives from you over the...
I shoot the first segment of the Von Hessler Doctrine, and then I put it down so I can concentrate on the show.
Sure. That's cool, though.
But, I like getting all the hits and likes, because, I don't make money, so I might as well get all that karma.
So is Periscoping dead now?
I don't know,
because of Facebook Live?
Periscope was bought by Facebook.
Yeah.
And it still exists, but that's like they bought it and now they do Facebook Live.
Right.
Yeah,
so. I don't know if one is because of the
that's
other.
That's the answer bought, I was looking for.
And they bought Instagram too. You know, Facebook owns Instagram?
Yeah.
Facebook owns the world.
Oh, yeah.
Zuckerberg spirit.
Who did you get into comedy wise when you, was it something that you discovered when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to watch, I used to watch specials all the time. Mm-hmm.
Trying to think like when you would have come of age and started getting into comedy.
I remember the first, oddly enough, Bill Engvall. Oh, I remember was like one of the first. actual physical albums that I borrowed from a friend, the Here's Your Sign album.
Right.
I don't remember laughing like guffaw over that, right. But I remember going like, oh, this is the thing.
And he's clever.
Yeah, yeah. And then my brain is not working tonight.
Mine never worked.
Wayne's World, not the other, not...
Not Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey. Dana I kept Carvey. Thinking Martin Short in my head. Dana Carvey had that one special with the doll where you'd have to keep mega two. Every time my finger clicks, it's $9.95 to you. He had that whole special. And me and my sister must have watched that over and over and over again.
And Jeff and
like,
I saw him
is...
open for the Marshall Tucker Band in high school. Yeah,
that's awesome. Bobcat used to open up for Nirvana. Like, yeah, a lot of comics. Wow. Jim Florentine still opens up for comics.
It wasn't supposed to be the Marshall Tucker Band. It was supposed to be Dennis Miller, I think. And he canceled.
Here's what happened. It was Richard Lewis was opening for Marshall Tucker. It was always Marshall Tucker Band. But Richard Lewis was supposed to open, and then he canceled, and your dad was mad because he wanted to see Richard Lewis. So your dad didn't want to go, and I got his ticket.
Nice.
I have a better memory than anybody.
I thought it was Dana Carvey and Dennis Miller, and then Dennis Miller canceled.
No,
so
Dennis.
They threw Marshall Tucker Band on there.
No. It was always Marshall Tucker.
And I remember hearing Dennis Miller always used to open up for the blues guy. He would open for Muddy Waters and like Freddie King and stuff. Yeah.
Jeff and I also saw Sam Kinison at the Broome County Arena in Binghamton, New York, and we were real close, and it was amazing to see because we fucking loved him, worshipped that guy.
Yeah, he broke ground, man. He was the first to do that style.
You know?
When nobody was doing it and you thought it was silly. Like Dane Cook, first of his style.
Yeah.
And hated as a result of it, but, you know, fuck all of you. Dane Cook's hilarious.
Dane Cook is funny.
Yeah.
He's a millionaire.
People love to hate guys
people
like
hated
Cook
him because
Randy
he got popular.
Schumer. Yeah, they just hated him because it was fun to hate him.
Yeah.
Just like Kevin Hart will be hated soon enough and... You know,
I have never really listened to his stand-up.
It's funny.
So I don't even know what his routine is.
Grown little man, hilarious.
He's
laughing
huge,
my pain,
though. I mean, he's
funny
the
as
biggest
shit.
Fucking
he
comedian in the
seriously
world.
Funny?
Yeah.
Is seriously funny. Okay. Bye-bye.
He gets a lot of shit because they, like Mike Epps and those guys, say
fucking
that...
Mike Epps is an idiot.
I totally agree. But he, you know, because they say that other people write his material. That's...
Kevin Hart?
Yeah.
Him and his buddies write together. Like, he's never been shy from talking about that. I've written for big comics that... You probably wouldn't be surprised if I told you who, but I can't, so I will tell you.
Right.
I do want to hear about that.
Here's the secret. A lot of comedians hire writers.
Look, yeah. at
Ronnie Dangerfield
point,
hired joke writers.
Yeah, at a certain point, there's only so much you can do, and you are required to create a certain amount of content, contracts, and you get TV shows, movies, other writing gigs yourself. There's only so much giga space you have in your brain, and you know, having help is not a big deal. And any comic who says they wouldn't write for another comic or would never let some, or never buy a joke, or be like, "Oh, that's funny. Let's work on that together." You're a fucking liar. You're a liar. It's comedy nerd shit. Fuck you. Be a fan. Be an ultra fan, but you don't have to police comedy. Like, stop that shit.
Do you like Engvall and that
Not
style
really.
Of comedy?
I don't like Bill Engvall too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I respect
when
what
you were
he
younger.
Did.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
when I was younger. You know, but listening to it as an adult, I'm like, boo.
Yeah.
What just happened?
You know, I think that, and I've said this before on the show when we've had other guests in, is that a lot of times you'll see edgier comics, and this goes back to like the early 2000s when David Cross would write an open letter to Larry the Cable Guy, and they would just attack him.
Fuck David
Cross. So, you know, I love David Cross's stand-up,
sure.
And I love his TV shows and the stuff that he's done. But, you know, what's so bad about Larry the Cable Guy? And here's my point about that. It's not my cup of tea comedy-wise, but that guy fills giant venues full of people whose lives are probably shitty all week long, and then they go see him, and they're fucking happy for 2 or 3 days. Now, anybody that can do that, I will applaud them. Like Foxworthy and the guy with the puppets, Dunham, you know, who's actually kind of funny if you get past all the, I don't like the guy because he's got puppets.
And he's successful.
Yeah, and he's successful. So I don't know if it's
jealousy. He's also a little bit of a bigot.
Is he a bigot?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Read into those characters a little bit. It's all just very, like, low-hanging racism.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's... He's good, sure, very talented. I wouldn't call him a comedian, though. I feel
he's a performer.
He's a performer. He's a ventriloquist.
Yes.
And any ventriloquist that's not funny is a terrible ventriloquist. You ever seen a serious, like a sad Art Nuevo fucking ventriloquist?
Let's talk
puppet
about
slits his own throat.
It's just a magic act, basically.
Yeah, it's a magic act. Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, look, your mouth isn't moving. Now what?
Yeah. Are there any comedians you've never seen that you love that you just want to see?
I've never seen Seinfeld. I'd love to see Seinfeld. He's got a residency at the Beacon, I think, for the rest of the year. I'm trying to go see that, but it's sold out immediately, so I'm hoping I can sneak in.
He did a show at the Fox 1 year, and back when I worked in radio, I got free tickets, so we were down at like the 10th row, and he stuck his head out behind the curtain at the Fox and he went, oh, we meet again. And it was right when he was doing that tour with all the new material.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it was about 2004.
That's how he opened the show?
Well, yeah, he just stuck his head out and went, oh, we meet again. Then he came out and did his new jokes.
Oh, wow.
So it wasn't the most recent one, because that was only
a few
years ago.
No. Okay. This was years ago. He put an album out to support it as well.
Okay.
But
Steve Martin opened for Seinfeld at the Beacon Theater at one of those shows.
His band show. He didn't perform.
He did stand up again though, as what Jeff said last week.
Yeah, I would love that. I would love to see Steve Martin. I've read his books. I fucking love Steve Martin.
What?
Somebody was just telling me last week they saw the Martin short. Steve Martin.
Somebody rich, apparently.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But they were a little like, eh.
Well, you know, you got to get back on your feet after 25
years.
Yeah,
he hasn't done stand up. You
know? I mean, they were very excited about it.
You
want to
know what is? Go see Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
I went and saw that show, and it was like, okay, I have all these skits memorized, and you're doing them live in front of me. Anything new?
I saw that, too.
Greatest Hits Tour. I'm into it.
And I think I was pretty fucked up, but I was laughing my ass off.
I was high, so I was laughing as well. But yeah. I think the thing that bothered me is Tommy had his wife open, she wasn't funny at all.
Well, fuck everything
plus
up.
Plus, that was the first show of that tour, and I think they were working the
Okay.
Out.
Yeah. Jeff and I saw, was it Saturday night? Yeah, we went Saturday night and saw the Remakes. It's a very popular local R.E.M. tribute band, and we're going to have one of the guys from the band on in a couple of weeks. And I got this idea in my head. Why don't people go out and do comedy tributes? So there I'm thinking.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't know
it. You just wouldn't know it.
They just add a couple of who's and ha's, and all of a sudden they pretend it's their material.
Yeah, is that rampant?
It happens. You know, they don't get too far, or they get the farthest you could get, mm-hmm. like Carlos Mencia.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Was he a joke thief?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Well, right. I know that Brewer was actually developing it for real.
Was he?
They were developing a show. They were pitching it to networks for well-known comedians to go out and do classic comedy bits from other comedians.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there is a show that's going to be on CISO. Mm-hmm. In end of October called Shtick or Treat.
Uh-huh.
And it's comedians dressing up like their favorite comedians and doing bits in that character. Now, I don't think they necessarily do their bits, but they do bits might have done.
Oh.
Type of stuff in that style. And it's going to be on CISO end of October.
Okay.
My friend produces it, and it's really good. They do a live version of it, too.
CISO is where do you get CISO?
It's online. It's a website. It's like Hulu for comedy. It's all like original comedy plus
Apple
classics.
TV and shit.
Yeah. It's supposed to be. It's like $2 a month or something.
Nice.
But you can see it. And it'll eventually be online. You can buy it somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's really good. They do a live version of the show in New York that Mark Normand and one other guy, I can't remember, but they do. It's like a live show. It's supposed to be pretty cool.
Is that trend of comedians doing the, hey, for $5.95, you can download this and keep it forever, that still going on?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Louis did that.
Yeah.
And he kind of set that trend. And a lot of comics try that. That like nobody fucking liked nobody. You, nobody knows who you are,
right?
You know, I like
Louis made like $1 million.
For a while. Like he gave all of his guys bonuses, like $250,000 bonuses and
$5.
Like,
why would you not get it?
Yeah, but if you're Louis, you know, so that's it's cool for that trend. Yeah, well, he's Dave Goddamn Attell for Christ's sake. Guy's a living legend,
right?
But
he doesn't put out a lot of stuff.
He's still performing a lot.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah,
I mean,
he performs all the time.
His he had that one comedy album that, you know, for 13 years was the only recorded thing you could get ahead as far as audio is concerned.
I loved his show that he did, not just Insomniac, but that show that he did whenever he would watch porno.
Dave's Old Porn?
Yeah.
I
love the one where he had Sika on.
Yeah.
Didn't he do the Gong Show? Didn't he revive the Gong Show?
Yeah.
I liked it, and then it went away.
Some of those shows don't need to be revived.
I know.
He's Norm MacDonald's arch enemy in Norm's book.
Oh, he is?
Oh, yeah?
Because he was, I guess he was dating Sarah Silverman when they were all back on Saturday Night Live. Attell was a writer, and Sarah Silverman did that one season.
Yeah.
And Norm was in love with Sarah Silverman, but she like had a restraining order against him.
I didn't know that. I got to get that
Not for real, but I don't think, but he hates Dave Attell in the book, and he like tries to have him killed.
Jesus.
So you were saying during the break that were you on the Opie and Anthony show? Or you?
No. I did Bobby Kelly's podcast. Mm-hmm. It's called You Know What, Dude.
Right.
It's this week, so it just came out Sunday.
Okay.
But halfway through the show, Anthony Cumia from Opie and Anthony, just walked in and sat down on the show, and it was like unbelievable.
Wow.
Think what you want about the guy, whatever your opinion is about him.
He's funny.
Give or take, whatever. That guy's a fucking legend in radio.
Yeah.
I was telling you, he's one of them. That show, Opie and Anthony, is probably the main thing that made me want to go into stand-up was because of that cast of characters that they mm-hmm. brought on. And just right. The show was un-fucking-believable.
It wasn't
so
Bob and
legends.
Tom.
Yeah, Bob and Tom. Bob and Tom did a lot for comedy.
I know
you
they
can't,
did.
Sure, you can't tell, I know. You know. Can't take that away from them, whether you like their show or not. I couldn't tell you because I never listened to it. But
they treated comics very well, and they, you know, they were the kind
broke of, a lot of. Roy Wood Jr. was a Bob and Tom, and I was on the Daily Show for Christ's sake.
They had Kostaki on a lot too, and that's how he got interested in doing his NFL bit. I haven't seen him in a long time, but he's
around,
a funny guy.
Economopolis,
Economopolis, Kostaki, Economopolis,
Economopolis.
Yeah, I think he plays the skull every now and again.
What's that?
I think he plays the skull still.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen, you know, the thing is I look at the websites now and there's a lot of comics I don't know, so I guess I have to get back into it. It's like music with me. If something new comes out, I'm like,
well, you got to see so, and then you just write.
We
got to
go see
like
Owen Benjamin, though, next month when he comes to town.
Yeah.
Where's he playing?
The Punchline.
Oh, yeah. Owen's great.
Mm-hmm.
Calmed down a lot. He's got a kid. He's got a new baby. He moved to the woods.
Yeah. The woods.
Yeah, he did, like to Vermont or some shit.
Who did we
I used to party with that guy back in the day.
Joe Rogan did that.
Did he?
Like moved out to the mountains or something, and then like a mountain lion ate his cat or something. He said, "All right, we're moving back."
He's a comedian, right?
Joe Rogan,
yeah,
is a billionaire.
Yeah.
He's a comedian.
That podcast. He's one of the early adopters, man.
Fuck the podcast. He's a UFC.
Oh,
he's,
UFC.
He's
that's right.
Care of because he was doing that shit for free because he just loved the
right.
He just loved being a part of it, and then they took care of him crazy when they became a thing, and now they got bought by what CAA or something like that, or
huge.
APA, some of the big agencies for like billions.
You know, you go back and watch News Radio, which is one of my favorite shows when he came out. He was a skinny guy,
really,
and he's now he's gonna rip your head off.
I didn't know that he was on it.
Yeah, he was.
He was the newsboy. He was the mail guy.
He was the engineer.
The news guy.
He was the engineer.
News radio. You know. Oh, was he? I thought he was the mail guy.
No, he's the engineer.
Oh.
He's the one
such
that
a racist.
He made the juice that made Matthew smart.
Right.
And he was Smathew.
Smart Matthew.
It's a great show until
I gotta watch Dark.
Phil Hartman died.
Yeah, Phil Hartman died and they brought in who'd they bring in?
John Lovitz.
John Lovitz and his shit totally sucked. Oh man. So you watch a lot of TV?
Because we talk about it a lot.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I'm not tired.
That's pretty much what this podcast is.
Yeah. I watch
television.
I don't have a TV. I haven't owned a TV in probably 4 or 5 years. But that's not because I'm trying to be cool. I just
you got shit to do.
Also, every time I've owned a TV, I sell it within a couple of months to make rent or something. You know, so it's like, fuck it. What do I need this TV for?
Well, you can watch it on your phone.
I know. So I watch. I got the Hulus and the Netflixes and the HBOs and shit like that. So I watch it, but I watch it at night. I normally watch like half of something, and then I'll catch the next half the next night because I fall asleep.
What's the last half of something you watched?
I just started season 2 of Mr. Robot last night.
Oh, shit. Then we can't talk about the finale?
No, we're not going to talk about it. I don't think
my buddy's in that. I play softball with the kid that plays Cyrus or Cypress or the kid with the tattoos on the dark internet.
Yeah,
he's my buddy.
Oh, well.
Mike Dreyer. Yeah, he's a good dude. Real funny kid.
That show.
He's also on Sneaky Pete that's coming out with Bryan Cranston.
Sneaky Pete, what's that?
It was this one pilot episode. Because
it was on Amazon Prime. Yeah.
You talk about TV, so you know the deal with Amazon, how they treat their TV shows?
No.
So they
pitch them and then.
Well, they air the pilots. They put every pilot up, and then if the people like them, they make them.
Right.
So this pilot aired called Sneaky Pete, and it's really good. So it's basically about this guy who came out of jail and his cellmate hadn't seen his family in like 20 or 30 years, and they kind of looked alike. So when he got out of jail, he just went back and was like, I'm him.
Oh, it was Giovanna Ribisi.
Giovanna Ribisi and Mike Dreyer, who was in Mr. Robot, plays that kid's guy's brother. So he's in that show, and Bryan Cranston's in it. So the pilot went over really well, and then they bought the episode. Like that guy fucking works more than I audition.
Who, Cranston or your buddy?
Mike Dreyer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, he's going to be one of those guys you'll know. Like he'll be a very recognizable name. So he's really, really good.
Yeah.
And a sweet kid too.
That's cool.
Have you watched Atlanta at all?
I need to watch it.
You
I
need to watch
it. Yeah.
It's so good.
I'm a little
good.
Nervous because it's like that's my hometown, baby. I gotta.
I feel like they do it justice.
I think it's
I
great.
Hear they do. Yeah.
They, I
yeah.
mean, they got J.R. Crickets in the first episode, which was hilarious to me.
Yeah, I hear Clayton's in it.
I haven't.
Or is going to be in it or something? Yeah.
Maybe that's later on.
Clayton's
down the
road. Some big shit brewing right now.
Really?
Yeah. Some like high level. Not to name names, but rhymes with Papatow type of stuff going on. Right now.
Wow.
What I hear. Rumors.
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 Oliver Stone. I can't
up.
Believe it.
Yeah, yeah. Clayton's amazing. So funny. He's got a video on our Facebook page. If you look up Red Clay Comedy on Facebook, he's got a really funny video plugging the festival. He talks about
Well, I'll just let you listen to it. Yeah. I don't want to ruin, the bit. Yeah.
It's like describing a show you only watched like half of or maybe fell asleep during. Like I fell asleep today watching something. I forget what it was, but I and you know what it was? It was Son of Zorn.
Oh, no good?
God. No.
Oh, it looks like it could be good, though.
Oh, it looked good. It looked great. Great cast. Funny people. Not good.
No. Terrible. I watched Night Of.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Great. It's so good.
Yeah.
We've talked about that extensively. Yeah.
That show was amazing.
What else have I been watching? I want to buy... No one's done Stranger this in New York. Stranger Things was great. But I wanted to take the guy... what's his name? From the lawyer... From
Night of
Totoro.
Totoro. Mm-hmm. I want to get that sign on the subway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I want to put that in the subways. And no one's done it. I haven't seen that yet. And I want to do it. I just, you know, I got a lot of thoughts, not a lot of execution.
You should have done that to promote the show.
Put a Google number up there that you can record.
Yeah. That'd be hilarious. I'm still going to do it, though. I'm going to do it.
You should do it.
I've been so involved with this festival. I love it. I can't wait for it. I cannot wait for fucking Sunday to come by so I can start thinking about other shit. I haven't got. Whatever.
What are you doing next? What are you doing next?
You know, I'm working on a show in New York, putting on a live show called Wonderment.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a monthly magic and comedy show.
No. Magic and comedy.
May the two mix. It's going to be comedians and then a magician and then a comedian. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Going to get Copperfield out there? You going to bring him back?
We've been banging for a while. Yeah, so sure.
That's hard because most comedians that play comedy clubs aren't funny.
Right, and we're not going to try. It's not going to be a comedian magician necessarily.
Yes. Okay.
We're going to bring a magician, legit magician, and then a comedian, legit magician.
Who did you mention, Jeff?
No, I just said most magicians aren't comedians.
Who was that magician we used to go see at the Punchline all the time?
The
Amazing Jonathan. Yeah, he was funny as shit.
Amazing Jonathan.
He was very funny.
Still alive somehow.
Yeah.
He was a legend. Yeah.
All that Windex.
Yeah,
that joke never got old.
But then me and Bobby are gonna go. We're actually because I've been a fan of magic my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Putting on a show in New York, like he does magic in his act now a little bit. But like, so we're combining forces and we're coming up with this two man show that's gonna be kind of like a punk rock magic show, but it's comedy. And then at the end, we come together and do this like crazy magic, couple magic tricks to like end the show. So a lot of music and sound effects. It's gonna be a lot of fun. But like March and April, all of March and April next year, we're going to be on the tour. We're going to circle the country doing a show every night somewhere.
I got thrown out of a comedy club in Pittsburgh that had a magician on stage. And he said, you know what would be funny? You know what would be funny? No, he said, you know what's magic? And I yelled out, it'd be magic if you were funny.
Ooh, fuck you, Tim Andrews.
And then I was asked to leave.
Yeah, you were.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
You know what?
I had to beat you up in the parking lot.
Yeah.
No, you didn't heckle Kinnison when we saw him.
No, I did not heckle Kinnison.
He would have killed
fucking
you.
Fucking scared.
I was a kid then, though, you know? I wasn't a drunk.
Somebody heckled him now about that show, remember?
Yeah, and he tore their asshole
over. He tore that dude apart.
That's probably the best part of the night. Yeah.
How do you handle hecklers?
I try to embrace it because it's kind of one of those evils that'll happen every now and again.
Well,
so.
He's a big guy, so
yeah. But I'll also beat people up, so that's the
that's what
side.
I'm saying.
I don't. I mean, I'm a pussy. Like I don't want to. I've never started a fight in my life. I finished fights, but I don't All start right. fights. But I like to play with. I like to shut hecklers up by making everybody laugh. Mm-hmm. I don't like. You know, I try not to. You know, there's that Steve Hofstetter. Guy, the comedian shuts heckler down.
Yeah.
Like he's an idiot too. Right. But he invites that shit, which is really bad for comedy because millions of people watch those videos and they're like, I'm gonna be the heckler guy.
Yeah.
And like, so that guy needs to be, you know, shoved in front of a bus. You know, he's promoting and he's trying to self promotion, but he's doing a detriment to comedy by promoting that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come, you know, be the guy.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, come to my show and interrupt it, and then interrupt every other comedian there.
Exactly.
And
but it happens.
Yes.
And you have to, I don't know, I try to work it, get what I can out of it, shut them up, move on.
The thing that bothers me the most is when somebody says something political and then somebody who disagrees politically, you know, if you make a joke about Bush or something, this happened a lot when Bush was president, it's like, this is my country, and people would get up and leave.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened during Bill Maher. People got up and left. We saw Bill Maher one time.
Really?
Which,
well, but also because he's not funny.
Right, exactly. Jump my punchline.
Sorry, my fault.
I did write a joke.
I'm just so jealous of how deep your voice is. And this whole show, I've been trying to like deepen my voice so I could be more
deep.
Like you. Not like yours.
Professional.
Yeah, you guys got pro voices.
No, I'm just sick, actually.
Timmy's got the velvet pipes.
I did write a joke the other day. I thought about it while I was smoking, and I put it in my.
How many babies have AIDS?
No. And you got to tell me you're a comedian, and I can't believe I'm going to actually say the joke. I'm not going to look at you and keep my eyes closed. I'm going to say, here's my joke. Ready? I don't have timing.
Guys, listening, he's really keeping his eyes closed right now.
I don't like millennials.
Why don't you like millennials?
Well, it's not because of they're younger than me. It's just I can't find any that want to fuck me.
Oh.
See, you didn't laugh. It's not funny.
I laughed. You couldn't see it.
I got a courtesy chuckle.
No, it's a good start. I think there's a good beginning.
Good night.
You just need the middle and the end.
Tim Andrews, ladies and gentlemen.
deconstruct that joke.
You need a middle and an end.
Deconstruct.
That's a concept.
All right. It's a concept. I don't like. It is a concept. I don't like millennials. Why? I didn't say why.
You never said why.
The rule of three.
The rule of three.
You don't like millennials because they won't fuck you. Okay.
Right. Yes.
Why won't they fuck you? Why do you? What is wrong with you that you don't look like a millennial? Do you not look like one? Do you not act like one?
I'm 45. Yeah. See, I can't do that. I could. I probably could if I weren't lazy.
Yeah. Get up on stage. That's the best place, in my opinion. You asked earlier what my writing process or what the process of writing is.
Yes.
I don't really have one.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, I try to write jokes, but I'm not good at writing a joke. I'm more of the experience life and then report it back in a humorous way. I'd try to do. I do some stories or short stories, long story type stuff. But I have to work it out on stage. I know a lot of comics will be like, that ain't comedy. Well, you fucking, drown yourself.
Here's what I don't consider comedy. Fuck, and oh, I fart and rape, and oh, this is funny.
But if that's funny, though, it's great.
It is, but it's got to
be funny.
Most times it isn't.
It can be, though.
Yeah. Okay. Anything can be funny, I guess.
Yeah, as long as it's good. Funny first.
And you know what? I appreciate that. That's honesty, is that it's funny first, and after that, whatever. So. Well, before we wrap the show, we usually do a thing called staff picks. So we'll let you do your staff pick.
I don't like millennials because they don't fuck me.
Yes.
But it's because my nipples bleed.
Yes.
That's the joke.
So it could be.
That's a joke. But it doesn't have to be millennials.
No, but it can be anything. But there's beginning, middle, end. I mean, that was a quickly constructed
bit. Nice workshop.
No,
yeah,
but
it
that's
was workshop.
Then. Comedy workshop right here on Radio Lab.
But if I want to know why his nipples bleed.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Two or three shows a night.
Because millennials don't know how to nibble. Boom.
Oh, that could be a callback later.
Exactly.
I don't like millennials because they feel entitled not to fuck me.
I don't like millennials because I can't make them fuck me.
I don't like millennials because every time I have sex with one, they need to go to a safe space.
I don't have one.
Millennials don't like Steph. You because they thought your apartment was a safe space.
And they were wrong.
It's because after radio, Tim moved into a Quick Trip.
Yes.
Which is also a safe space. Yes. All right,
that's it. Where he keeps him in his crawl space.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I could always try, I guess, because I... my girlfriend goes to bed early, and I could go out and goof around, but I'm not going to do that.
You live in Midtown, pal.
I know.
Walk into Laughing Skull to put you up. Talk to Bobby. Bob Place.
I thought I'd have to talk to Marshall.
No. Bob Place.
Bob Place.
Andrew George. Go talk to any of them. Just walk in there any night of the week, except Mondays. I think they don't. Well, no, they do shows now.
I'll go on after Ron White when he goes and does a pop-up show there.
Why not?
He got his haircut at Mary Todd, too.
They still do the show at Limerick Junction, right?
Every Tuesday. I'll be there tomorrow.
You will?
Yeah.
I love
that's
it.
That's my show.
That's the best open mic.
I started that
it's
show.
Really?
I started that show in 2009, 2010.
My favorite place to do open mic.
Me and Bob Place started that show.
Here's what I love.
And then I gave it to Mark Sardula, then Tim Miller, who actually lives in New York now.
Tim Miller's
funny. And
then
now Tom Russell runs it, and apparently he's running a fucking great show. I'm going to be there tomorrow.
Didn't Jakehead run it for a little bit?
Who's Dickhead?
I don't know. Jakehead. I don't think so. Maybe. Maybe for like
for a
brief.
A
maybe Mark Sardula did it for a second.
No, but listen,
semantics.
You're down here for a festival that you're going to that you're producing.
Yes.
And you're working your ass off, but you are still doing comedy every night.
Yeah,
that's fucking thing. Amazing. You're leaving here to do a comedy show.
Yes, right. Star Bar after this.
See,
and I came from a show. Baby.
I know. God,
doing it, baby.
It's great. It's killer.
Look, come on.
Well,
No, it's good for you. But I'm also proud of this city for all that, too.
I am, too. I love the fact, man. And,
well, that's
and
why we started the festival here. It's a non-competitive festival.
I like that even better.
We're not doing submissions. We did it last year, but it was a last-minute decision, and we shouldn't have done it. But we found some really great fucking comedians doing that. We really did the submissions. We really looked at those tapes. A lot of festivals don't. But we decided to make a curator this year and just pick the best people we could find.
Right.
Then
it's about
the
fans.
Atlanta and show them Atlanta and show Atlanta these people and just curate the best festival, create the best fucking experience that people can have to come to a festival.
I never understood.
Swear to God, if you come to this festival, you're going to have a great fucking time.
I never understood the premise of a comedy festival where it's competitive.
Yeah, it's stupid.
And there's judges, and then at the end, there's a winner.
No, it's dumb.
Because
the most subjective art form.
Exactly.
You're going to find a winner.
And then
I get it, though. The festivals, especially the one in town, Laughing Skull Festival, has done so many great things for so many great comics.
It has.
But it's also made so many comics angry where they quit comedy because they didn't do well in a festival that didn't fucking matter. I've seen comics that made it to the finals in their very first set bomb miserably.
Yeah.
And they go through because the judges already knew that, oh, well, we know this guy, so we're going to bring... And then the person who crushes that should have gone through doesn't because they weren't already on the radar.
I see.
So that shit happens all the time. So it's a little bit of a fucking silly thing. But again, I'll never do what?
When that year when Sam Morril won over Ari Shaffir, there was a lot of people.
But Sam Morril is one of the best joke writers on the fucking face of the earth.
But it's like you said, just subjective.
Yeah, it's
totally subjective. So many people bitching about that.
Yeah. But, you know, it's the Skull Festival has done a lot. I did it. It's a great festival.
I judged it 1 year.
I don't like the competitive nature of comedy. It just seems like a silly thing. And also, I'm not a five-minute comic.
Right.
I'm a long – and I know that. So, and I know that I'm not built for things like that. And, you know.
So I think if you 5 minutes, you just have to be quick and you just above it. Joke.
Yeah, you've got to have a lot of laughs. Yeah. I could get two or three punchlines out.
Or one really great story.
But you taught me how to – write a joke tonight.
And speaking of comedy, you know, we're all missing the debate right now.
So I'm
there's going to be some good comedy this weekend.
I got to get home and watch the last half hour of it with 4chan open. I'll go to the... Do you know what 4chan is?
No.
It's an image macro board.
Don't go there.
Yatsuba-based from Japan. It's been around since 2005, and they have a political board called Poll. And you know that frog meme that's out there now, Pepe the Frog, that's scaring all the liberals think it's a swastika?
Yeah,
No.
It's just a frog. And real quick story for the listeners who don't know, Pepe the Frog was created in 2004 by a cartoonist who wrote a comic book about monsters that live together. This guy was a stoner, the frog Pepe, and he liked to pee with his pants down around his ankles. And his friend said, "Why do you pee with your pants down around your ankles?" And he said, "Feels good, man." And that frame became a meme, and it was one of the first memes, and then now all of a sudden it's being used by Trumpers. So, anyway.
Sure.
So, I mean, this whole year has just been nonstop entertainment. So, anyway, I'll watch it with that rolling thing, because there's so many idiots out there, but there is some funny stuff. So, anyway, and it entertains me to watch people get trolled.
I think we've learned tonight, if anything, is, you know, vote Trump.
I'm advocating for vote Trump.
Make America great again.
It's obvious that's what we're preaching here.
I drove down Monroe today, and I saw two signs for Gary Johnson, which surprised me, because you don't usually see libertarian posters on there, but I don't really care. Vote for whoever you want. My staff pick real quick this week is Norm MacDonald live again this week.
2 weeks in a row you picked that.
I fucking love Norm MacDonald. What do you want from me?
You got to read the book, man.
Bill Hader is his guest, and I watched the whole episode today, an hour and 46 minutes of it. Old SNL and Norm being his surly self and Bill Hader giggling like a girl and also telling great stories about Saturday Night Live. And Norm is just so brutally honest because, you know, he brought up the Lonely Island thing, and Norma, I didn't like it. I appreciate it, but I think it's funny. And then talking about the anniversary specials and behind the scenes stuff. And if you're a fan of Saturday Night Live, there's a lot of good Rodney talk too.
A lot of good Rodney talk in Norm's book too.
Yeah, he loved Rodney. So, or maybe I'm getting that confused because I also listened to Norm on Howard Stern, which was an hour and a half as well. It's a lot of Norm MacDonald today. And then also I watched The Exorcist Friday night on Fox. It was pretty good if you like The Exorcist. It's not, it's not as scary or honest as the original movie, but it's good. So
is it following the movie storyline?
It takes place after, but I mean, they reference it a little bit.
Does anybody suck cocks in hell?
Just Gina Davis.
I'll watch.
So that's my staff pick. Well, let's make them quick. Ira.
All right. Everybody's going to watch it anyway, but Westworld is this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Starts
Sunday.
On HBO. Looks killer. Evan Rachel Wood, Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
And, anyway, those guys. Watch that. I'm in the middle of Narcos Season 2. I know we've discussed it already, but if you haven't got into that, watch that shit.
All right.
That's it.
Jeff?
I'm going to pick Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 2, so also starts this week, I think. Sunday, maybe.
Cool.
Cool.
I don't know what that is. Steph?
My pick is this Friday on Netflix, Luke Cage. I've been dying for this show. I wasn't a big fan of Daredevil. Jessica Jones was okay. He was the best thing about
Jessica Jones.
Those dudes from Luke Cage were on Geeking Out with Kevin Smith on Sunday, too.
Oh, really?
Last week. Yeah, you should watch it.
Well, and I like it, the fact that this is going to be, it's very in the blaxploitation style, which is totally right. my wheelhouse, because I'm pretty sure that I was a pimp in 1973.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you were, too.
I'm almost previous positive. Life. That was my dream, anyway. So, but yeah, so Luke Cage, Netflix this Friday. It looks really good.
Do you got one?
I got a music. Can I give you music?
Sure. Oh, we do everything.
There's a band called Ripe out of Boston.
Okay.
Fucking unbelievable.
What kind of stuff?
They're like funky, jazzy, poppy. They got a horn section. Their singer's got the best voice I've ever heard. They actually were at 420 Fest in Atlanta this year. The comedy stage, because I came back and performed.
Yeah.
They were the band that played, that closed that stage as music and then it turned comedy. Uh-huh. And I think it was the first one right after them, so I was there, and it blew me the fuck away.
Cool. Wow.
I've seen them in New York. They came to New York a couple of weeks after that. I'm seeing them again in a couple of weeks. They're fucking great. I think it's either Ripe or The Ripe, but they're fantastic. You got to check out Ripe. It's completely under the radar band.
Their album stream anywhere?
Yeah, Spotify.
Okay,
you can see
cool.
My Spotify and shit.
I love Spotify.
No, it's unbelievable.
There's like Pandora, all that stuff. I just love Spotify.
Me too.
Brother Sky. That's a great song.
Brother Sky. I'll Ripe. Check them out. Ripe.
Check it.
All right. Well, listen. Thank you very much. I consider it a favor that you came on this show.
Oh, thank you. It was a favor for me to come on the show.
No,
you
man.
Did me a favor. Come on. What
always like Mike. Still like Mike. We'll always like Mike.
I'll fix that.
Sad I can't go to the
next year
festival,
we'll
but we'll definitely go next year. And hopefully that this will continue. And
we are now 0-6, and Tim Andrews attending any of my events.
I didn't say I'd go to this one.
You give me the ticket, I'll go. You give me the ticket, I'll go.
This was more than 12 hours, though, he's giving you.
It's a good point.
Well, Steph, if we can get Steph in.
Yeah, get you a press pass.
I would be glad to go.
You would?
I'd love to see the old gang.
Yeah, come through. It's going to be tons of fun. Bobby's doing shows. It's going to be great.
And then you'll have to recap it next week.
Okay. I could do that.
Perfect.
All right.
Thursday and Friday.
Go ahead and do the sell line again, man.
RedClayComedy.com. Get your tickets in advance because shows will be sold out. I recommend getting the pass. I know it's $100, but it's totally worth it. You get the Project Pass Festival, all those amazing music acts like NoFX, Mastodon. Christ's sake, Run the Jewels is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you get all the comedians like Rory Scovel, being produced by Jack White. You got Clayton English. You got 30 of the best comedians. We've talked a lot about them, like Joe List, Ben Kronberg, all these guys, and gals. There's a lot of great female comedians coming, too. And, yeah, come through. Get it. RedClayComedy.com. It's this weekend. Don't miss it. It's going to be the
venues
event of the year.
That's Relapse Theater is one of the venues.
Reopened, yeah.
Yeah.
They just got their liquor going, so
we're
going to be
right?
stocked with Goza, tequila, and PBR.
Yeah.
They get the old girls back at the bar?
They think there's going to be one or two showing up this weekend. Yeah, we're going to get the Rachels and the Britneys and stuff, hopefully. Yeah, the old gang.
Can you get Jack White to pop by Mary Todd Hairdressing Co.?
You know what? I haven't met the man.
Free haircut for him.
We'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do.
And a beard trim.
Yeah.
Do you need your beard trim? If you need your beard trim this week,
I trimmed it and it grew back out.
15 minutes is all it takes.
I'm scared to trim. I think I'm lifing this.
You are?
What? I'm not afraid to admit it. This top of my face on fucking point. I think I got a very handsome top.
Oh,
face.
You're a handsome dude.
Bottom part of my face, fucking disgusting. I think I have a terrible bottom face. I'm not a good bottom facer. So
What's
the beard round, it's not good. It's like this weird bulby chin. I got this like second chin that's there for it's there for a reason. I get it. I have bad eating habits. It's not the point. But it's got this weird round thing going on. So this like really sharpens me up and it makes me, I don't know. I like my
Remember
face
when I had a beard?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what it looks like now? White.
Well, yeah, you should keep it growing out.
Oh, I don't know. It looks terrible.
It makes me wish I could grow a beard on the whole bottom half of my body.
Like, look, if
don't you have one?
Look at this. This is not...
Don't punch me. No one can hear.
Look at the shape of my face.
Yeah.
It's not a good shape.
Well, when you pull your face like that...
I'm not pulling my face. I'm just pulling my beard.
Oh, wow. Yeah, leave it alone.
Fuck you. You're supposed to tell me no. You look great. You're a real piece of work.
Married. You're an Adonis.
You're a real piece of work. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
I need all the positive reinforcement.
Mike Albanese, Red Clay Comedy Festival.
This has been so much fun.
Thank you.
Good hang.
Good hang with you. Okay, I like that. Good hang. It was a good hang. All right. This week's show was brought to you by Mary Todd Hairdressing Company for the finest haircut you'll ever have, like Mike Albanese over there. Go online to marytoddhairco.com. Look around, check out the products. Book an appointment online or call. I work there Tuesday through Saturday, so if you want me to wash your hair, fine, I will. I'll even do it in character, which I have done. Mary Todd Hairdressing Company on Carroll Street in Atlanta's historic Cabbage Town. Online, marytoddhairco.com. Also, listen, thank you guys for listening to the podcast. We enjoy doing this every week for you. And no, this isn't a sales pitch because we don't have a Patreon set up yet. So shut up and listen. I really appreciate it. Our numbers spiked huge last week.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you. We hope that we kept you around and that you listened to this episode as well. And again, if you dig cold brew coffee, and this is a nice segue into that, try the best you've never had. And if you have tried it, have another. Banjo Cold Brew, available all over Atlanta and in Georgia, except for Savannah. Find it at Whole Foods or at your snazzier Kroger's with the nice organic sections. Woo!
We got those.
I'm tired, man. I did a podcast this morning. Yeah, well, Eric's.
Oh, right.
Tim's a podcasting fool.
Yeah. Podcasting fool. Next week on the show, we're going to be joined by, and I didn't write it down. Fuck. Hang on a minute.
Some beer dudes. We're going to do like a lot.
Yeah, but they have names.
Things.
Aaron Williams and Tim. I can't speak anymore. Aaron Williams and Tim Dennis from Beer Guys Radio Podcast. They're both real nice guys. Know Aaron. I've met him before. He's actually went to college in our neck of the woods and worked at a local TV station where we grew up. So it'll be fun. We'll do a little Finger Lakes chat.
They're bringing beer?
Of course they're bringing
beer.
Sweet.
They have
back
a nicer podcast
us.
Setup than we do. Am I going to have to dress this up a little more?
I don't know. You put a wig on it.
I just put a little lipstick on the knob there.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm fucking beat. Now I'm going to go listen to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton argue.
Yeah.
Until next week, please remember to keep it canon.
Two Faces Radio.